What else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj is Maharani Parindadas. Oh, please accept my humble obeisances of Lord Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Guru Maharaj, somebody asked me to ask you a question. Like, is it okay, devotees' parents, to celebrate children's birthday, like to celebrate, like to prepare birthday parties and so on and so on, because they have to, if that's okay? Because we have to teach the children, I mean, to make, to show example that we are not this body, and I don't understand.
You're talking about devotees' children and devotees' parents making birthday parties for their grandchildren.
That's for their children. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Prabhupada was dead against it. Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me on several occasions that we don't celebrate birthdays. But if you did, it would have to be a very differently defined birthday party than for the person. In other words, it should be when someone gives things away in charity, serves others, invites others and gives them prasadam. In other words, when it's an issue of actually giving to others and thanking others for what they've received up until then, that type of party could be admissible. But not the type of, you know, where everyone's just in tamagoon and blowing horns and trumpets and wearing hats and balloons and eating cake, and everyone's just, you know, we wish you a happy birthday, and in other words, just sense gratification without any sense of sharing and giving. So it was meant to be. You know, when Krishna observed his birthday, he's giving cows in charity, he's feeding the brahmanas, and then that's what you do. So then you do that. And then he was actually there doing that. So if children are taught to do that, you know, once a year, at least I serve all of those people who've contributed to everything I've gotten up till then, then that's a different type of party. I don't know if grandparents are into that type of thing, though. But they can be. But this type of thing, just to make children more self-centered and selfish, that's that type of birthday party is not what that's what Prabhupada said we shouldn't have.
Not at all.
Okay. Someone else?
I've got a question here from Luri Maharaj.
Uh-huh.
He says, in Srila Bhakti Chintamani, chapter 13, under achieving ecstatic devotion, it is said, there are two ways to achieve ecstatic devotion, by the special mercy of Krishna, or his pure devotee, and by rigorous practice. What exactly is meant by rigorous practice? What form does it take, and what does it look like?
Well, that's what he's been doing for the last 15, 20 years. That's the rigorous practice, sadhana bhakti. One performs sadhana bhakti, and by properly performing sadhana bhakti, then one comes to ecstatic devotional service by effort. Ultimately, it requires Krishna's intervention, but Krishna's intervention is invoked by effort. It's not invoked just by chance coincidence. And that's what we're doing. That's our morning program, our 16 rounds, our regulative principles, our hearing Bhagavatam class, studying books, associating with devotees, worshipping the deities, and doing that in a quality way. That's what it's about. That's the ecstatic practice. That's the practice to come to the stage of ecstatic devotional service or spiritual life. But the most important thing is chanting Hare Krishna. That's the most important aspect. Something else?
Nigamani had a question. She was asking, in the previous club conference when he was speaking with Lalita Shaki, it was about why devoted children develop bad habits. And he was stressing the importance of brahminical training, especially for boys. So she wondered whether you could explain what that training consists of and how it might be achieved.
I think my main point was association, that it's association that's really going to determine what type of behavior children adopt. And the three places of association are the school, the home, and then the environment outside of those two places. And of course, good relationships with parents, good communication, and then training children, teaching them how to actually protect themselves. That's invaluable. Ultimately, you can't just hide them away and sequester them, especially in a city. So they need to be educated, and that education comes from the parents, from the teachers, and other relationships, other friends, and so on. Well, children have to learn how to protect themselves from Maya. They have to know what's right and what's wrong, and how to actually discriminate, to be able to actually determine what is right and what's wrong. Maybe if you say something more specific, I can respond to it.
Unfortunately, she's not online, so...
Okay.
Get a connection. So there's one last question from Muli Manha. He says, in the Mahabharata, when Karna was taking part in the martial exhibition, he was not allowed to challenge Arjuna because of his apparently coming from a sutra class, chariot driver, although he obviously exhibited all the qualities of a warrior. Also, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in a verse by Narada Muni, he states,
Yashya lakshanam proktam punkso varna viganjikam.
He's saying, if one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra, as described above, even if he is a period in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. So how should he understand this? How should this be understood?
There's a book by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that addresses different scriptural apparent anomalies that deal with manners such as this. I don't know if this specific point is there. I can't remember. So my take on it is certainly Arjuna is a liberated soul and he's never in the bodily concept of life. On the other hand, you know, Karna didn't come out as some kind of nice guy in that whole thing. He came out immediately challenging the Pandavas. And he didn't have, although he may appear like a Kshatriya, and he may have the apparent appearance and qualifications of a Kshatriya, but he didn't specifically have a lineage and an identity. And just as in Krishna consciousness, for instance, you may be a Vaishnav, you may chant Hare Krishna, and that may identify you as a Vaishnav, but you still have to be connected to some kind of disciplic succession somewhere. And if you're not connected to that disciplic succession, if you can't establish your gotra, then you need to establish a gotra before you're accepted. It wasn't that Arjuna wasn't willing to fight with him, because once Duryodhan was willing to actually then define Karna's status, then Arjuna was willing to accept and fight with him, and then they did fight. So, but it's a principle that even though someone may have yatraya lakshanam proktam, even you got lakshana, but still, that doesn't mean that just because you've got the qualities of a Brahmin, all of a sudden you can just sit down somewhere and start chanting mantras. You still need a spiritual master, you still need to hear mantras, you still need to be connected to a Brahminical line. So same thing with a Kshatriya. You may have Kshatriya qualities, but just because you have Kshatriya qualities, that doesn't mean that everything else that comes along with being an authorized warrior, that goes out the window. So those things also have to be there. So it's like that. It's like, you know, you may have devotion and bhakti, but just because you got devotion and bhakti doesn't mean that you can do without a spiritual master and initiation and so many other things. So Karna didn't know this. He said, "Who are you? Where do you come from?" This is, "Well, I don't know." Well, then, you have to start somewhere. You have to be connected somewhere. So when Duryodhan said, "All right, I'll accept him, and I'll make him a king, and he's connected to me, and this is his kingdom," then Arjuna said, "All right, then we can fight." Is that okay? Okay.
Can I ask something on that, please?
Uh-huh.
I just want to know if Ekalavya, he was rejected because he hadn't been accepted by the Guru. And it seems like... So is Gotra just as important as the principle that Ekalavya was rejected for? Are they on an equal level, or...?
Isn't what important?
Gotra, because it seems like the, you know, from what you're saying, that Karna's problem was that he didn't have a gotra, and a clear gotra anyway, and Ekalavya's problem was that he wasn't kind of authorized by Dronacharya. He wasn't accepted by Dronacharya, so whatever powers he had were immediately gotten. So are they both on the same level?
No, but they're relevant in terms of the different varnas. So, for instance, you may not have a gotra, but if you have a spiritual master who accepts you, then that you become a chuta gotra. Similarly, you may not have a kshatriya lineage, but if you're established by an authorized king, then that transcends that and places you in a position of kingship, of authority, of kshatriyaship, and then you can continue. So it's similar, like that. So there are certain things that make up, that can make up for birth, that can intervene in birth, and they're really representatives of God, Guru, King, they're representatives. But the main thing is not so much the issue of birth, the issue is of order. That society needs to be orderly structured, and even though, yes, there are qualities and so on, when we say yatraya lakshana proktam, is that people should be recognized according to their qualities, but that means we want to establish order. We want to establish order, and the prime consideration, if you can't determine it by birth anymore, then determine it by qualities. But order needs to be there, because otherwise you don't have a social structure without order. It kind of just becomes chaos. So the whole idea of asking, where are you from, who's your parents, and so on, because there has to be some kind of order, so we know how to actually hold people accountable. What are their qualifications? And in the absence of that, then they have to have some other qualification or something else that establishes them in the order. So in this case, when Duryodhan then established Karna as, I don't remember, the king of what kingdom, and he placed them in, then he gave order. He placed, there was structure. Karna all of a sudden was placed into the system. Otherwise, he was out of the system.
Even though he had the lakshana?
Yeah, it's not enough to have a lakshana. You can't just have chaotic people with lakshan running around all over the place and there's no structure. It doesn't make for society. Lakshan is one thing, but lakshan is then you're just establishing people within the system, within the order, on the basis of lakshan, not on the basis of birth. That's all. It doesn't mean that that frees you from any type of social obligation. It means that on the basis of lakshan will fit you in. Okay, so you're a kshatriya, then you have to fulfill the rules of a kshatriya. It isn't that all of a sudden you're just a kshatriya and you do whatever you want. No, then you have to follow. You only have rights on the basis of what obligations. But where's your kingdom? You may be a kshatriya, you may be a lakshan, but Arjuna may say, I fight with equals. So I'm a king. Half the world is mine. So then, who are you? You don't have a kingdom. Even if you have lakshana, why should I fight with you? So anyway, they had different types of codes. I imagine that had something to do with it. What's his name? Starts his name with J. His name started with J. No, who came to Mathura so many times, 19 times, 20 times. Jarasandha. So Jarasandha, he wouldn't fight with Krishna. He wouldn't fight with Arjuna. He says, you're younger than me. I don't fight with people who are younger than me. That's their order. So I'll fight with Bhima because he's both equal in strength to me and he's the same age. So it's order. People had, they had certain principles. They had individual vows that they set up, and they also had codes of chivalry that I don't know all of those. Some of them are there in Mahabharata and so on. Okay. Let's talk about when the next one is. Because it's 9:45 my time.
Yeah, sorry. Thanks for taking so long.
And let's see. UK Skype conference. I have Adva, it can be next week.
Yes.
Next week on the 29th, 30th, the latest. Let's make it the 29th. Same thing. And give me a reminder again in the morning, and if I have any problems, I'll let you know, because I may have some other appointments coming up, because I'm in Budapest at that time. Did we have any luck with any kind of video?
Not yet. Sorry, Gomash. Got distracted.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Anyway, I don't think you could get video here right now on the farm. In Budapest you can, because it's very high bandwidth.
This is okay, though.
This is fine. This is fine. Yeah. This is fine. Okay, everyone. Well, I hope you're well, and my apologies once again for making you wait so long. We had a great time over here. And then tomorrow or next week it'll be okay. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Jai Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Hare Krishna.